There's a famous sikha from the Rebbe, not about this so much, there's something from the Rebbe about this too, but there's, it says in Kabbalah that when Mashiach comes, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Now we paskin like Beis Hillel, Mashiach comes, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Right? So sikha from the Rebbe asked a very simple question. There's a basic rule in Teira Leitiyah Mechlefes. Torah will never change. Torah is eternity. So how can you say, now we paskin like Beis Hillel, and when Mashiach comes, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Why isn't that changing Torah? And the Rebbe answers a very simple answer. The reason why Halacha says we paskin like Beis Hillel now is because that was the majority opinion. In other words, why in Halacha is when there's an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the Halacha is like Beis Hillel? Because there was a majority opinion. Torah says you go by the majority opinion. When Mashiach comes, the majority opinion will be like Beis Shammai. So Torah is not changing. Torah says you follow the majority opinion. Right now it's Beis Hillel, so now the Halacha is Beis Hillel. Then it will be Beis Shammai. So Kabbalah and Chassidus explain why. Because Beis Shammai is in a higher level than Beis Hillel. That's why it's stricter. So now the world can't handle Beis Shammai, so therefore the majority of opinions like Beis Hillel. And therefore, we pass. Mashiach comes, the world's going to be elevated. We'll be able to handle Beis Shammai. So then the majority opinion will be Beis Shammai. So it's not the Torah changes. Torah says you go by majority. Therefore, now the majority is Beis Hillel. It's Beis Hillel. Then it will be Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai. Torah says, and at this time in history, these foods are dangerous. Right? But if the body changes and they're not dangerous anymore, so Torah's not changing. Torah saying these are dangerous now for this body. Now if the body changes and therefore they're not dangerous, then it's not dangerous. Torah's not changing. Okay, Perikid Aleph, what?
That's a quick off question. That's a question.
Yeah.
So like saying the Torah is not changing, just someone asked me, like a public school kid, so the Torah is eternal, so how come the olden days allowed to do things which are forbidden now? Let's say it says like we're learning how to walk. When they got nose rings, how come the Torah, the holy fathers, matriarchs had nose rings and now it's not forbidden? So if we're supposed to follow the Torah, it's eternal. How come the imais have nose rings and now you're not supposed to?
Who says women can't wear nose rings today?
Like now you're not supposed to pierce because it's harming your body, but then how come the Torah didn't
help this way? The Tzemach Tzedek explains, huh? Tzemach Tzedek explains, why are there things in the olden times were permissible? And then, in later generations, they became usur. For instance, biblically, chicken and milk is allowed. Okay? Because the Torah said b'chalevim, right? Chicken and milk is only rabbinically forbidden. Why is it that initially it was permissible, and then the rabbis had to come to forbid it? Or any gzeira that the chum made. So the Tzemach Tzedek and Amaymer explains, because in the older times, people were on a greater level, so they were able to elevate certain foods. If they were able to elevate certain foods, so then there was kosher. As generations descended and went down in level, we don't have the ability anymore to elevate those foods. So therefore, the Chacham said, you're not allowed to eat it, because if you can't elevate it, we learned in Tanya, you can't eat it. That's very simple. Then there are things that Halacha says like this. There were things which halachically were forbidden, allowed, because it wasn't necessarily what Goyim did. Then there's certain traditions that Goyim started keeping, and it became known as a universal Goyish tradition. So then Torah came along and says, now you're not allowed to do it because it became a Goyish tradition. To give you an example, even in Halacha today, it's brought down in Halacha, I'll give you two simple examples. One about a wedding, one about a funeral. See how far apart they are. A wedding, it says in Halacha, according to many poskim, you're not allowed to make a wedding inside a shul. So no, it's a big machlokes in Halacha. There are many poskim that write, you're not allowed to make a wedding inside a shul. In a social hall, yeah, in anywhere you want, but not in a shul. So it says, why? So poskim write, because goyim make their weddings in their churches. A chuppah has nothing to do with a shul. Why do Jews want to make a chuppah in a shul? Because the goyim make it lahavdil in the churches, so you want to make it inside the shul. That's called following the ways of the goyim. In other words, not that it years ago was forbidden. Once goyim started doing it, it became forbidden, according to Halacha. Or it's brought down, I don't know if everybody agrees with this today, but there's poskim in halacha that say, you're not supposed to wear black at a funeral. Why? Dafka black, I'm saying dafka, you know, from head to toe in black. So it says, why? So it says in halacha, because goyim started wearing it, and it became what's called the Geisha tradition, and therefore you don't do it anymore. Because years ago it was allowed. Today you don't do it because of the Geisha. That doesn't mean you wear bright red. I mean, but, you know, the concept of dafka black and head to toe and all that is... Okay, Parakeet Aleph. No.
Is it yes or no?
Tumach is an halacha. We have tried not to do it. Parakeet Aleph. Huh? 44. Get married in Vegas. Okay. They go to the casinos, then it becomes under rabbinic supervision. Okay. Last time we learned, after the battle between the Nefesh HaBamis and Nefesh HaLakis, Dr. Eben Perikud explained the level of a tzaddik. What's a tzaddik? We're on Yud Aleph. What's the level of a tzaddik? He kills the Yetzer Hara, is called tzaddik. She'ena gomer, incomplete tzaddik. You transform it to Kedusha, you call tzaddik gomer. Now, our Rebbe is going to discuss the Russia. It's more up our alley, as we'll soon see. Bezelu mezeh, opposite, one opposite the next, is Russia v'teblei, a Russia who has good, meaning he's an incomplete Russia, is the counterpart of a tzaddik v'rali. Just like a tzaddik v'rali is an incomplete tzaddik, there's a Russia sheina gomer, Russia v'teblei, meaning he's an incomplete Russia. What does it mean he's an incomplete Russia? Hainu, which means Shatev shebenafshu alikish shebemeich, the good which is in the godly soul, which is in the mind. Ubachol layimani shebelibay, on the right side of the heart. Kafuf ubot legabi orami aklipa shebachol lasmali. Meaning like this. What is the definition? Russia v'tevlei. Russia is a Russia. V'tevlei has good, but the good is bottle to the bad. Just like Rasha Tzadik V'Ra'alei means he has a tiny level of evil, but it's bottled to the good. Rasha is a Rasha V'Tev that has a little bit of good, but it's bottled to him. What does this mean? V'zeh mischalik gamkin l'ravavis madregis chalukis. Just like Tzadik V'Ra'alei, there's tens of thousands of levels. The same thing in the Rasha V'Tev, there's tens of thousands of levels. V'nikamas v'eiches habitul. Based on the quality and quantity of the bittul. How much and how much in numbers and how much in quality. Yeshmi, there is a Rosh Betevle, Shakfifa va bittul etzi mat mizayir, that the bending of the good to bad is extremely rare. That means he rarely sins. The Afkam zeis, and even when he does sin, Ainabitmidis, it's not constant. Vleitadir leprakim kravim, and it's not often. Alliitim rechaikim. Sometimes it can be like once a year even. Misgaber ara latev, the evil conquers the good. Vekevish esair ktanu huaguf, and conquers this little city which is the body. Achloi kula, not even the whole body. And I'm going to say it first outside and then we'll see it inside. But Rebbe is explaining, if you sin once in your lifetime, you are a Rasha V'Tevlei. Because any time that you allow the Nefesh HaBamis to control the Nefesh HaLakis in thought, speech, or action, then you are automatically called a Rasha. Which is pretty powerful, which means what we call a Tzaddik today is a Rasha V'Tevlei. Not even a Beinoni. And he says, the itim lechekim, sometimes the distant times, miskaber ala teif, the evil conquers the good. Bekevich is here, ktane yaguf, achle kula, not even the whole body, which means, ala miksasa levadi, the evil only conquers a little bit of the body. She saw the mashmaosi, that the body should turn to listen to what the Nefesh HaBamis wants. Venasale merkava levush, and it becomes a garment. Leslabish by me'echa mishlesh levusha anal. Even to have one of the three garments. That means, if a person just thinks willingly an evil thought, he is a Rasha at that time. And until you do tshuva, he's a rosh of a tevli. The haino, which means the guy sins rarely, or b'maisa levad, he either sins in a little action, lases avedus kalis, to do even the little sins, not achmuris chasasham, not the severe sins, or b'diba levad, or they sin only in speech. Ledaber avak lashon hara, like we learned, the dust of lashon hara. He doesn't even speak real lashon hara. He just speaks a little bit lashon hara. V'leitzan is the jokes. Or b'machshava levad, or they willingly think a thought. Hirhuri aveda, thoughts of sin. Hakoshim aveda, which are worse than the sin itself. And I'll explain in a second. And he says even more. V'gamim meina maharir b'aveda la'seisa. Even if a person doesn't think, they don't commit the sin, but they don't even think about committing the sin. What do they do? They just think about male-female relations. They don't even think about doing, they just think that concept. That they transgressed the sin of the Torah. You should watch yourself from any evil thing. And the Gemara says, what does that pasuk mean? That you shouldn't think during the day, which brings you to impurity at night. That Rebbe is explaining like this. Anytime you allow the Nefesh HaBamis to control, you are a Rasha. Because the good that you have is bottled to the evil by allowing the evil to control the body. Even if the body only, the Nefesh HaBamis only controls it in thought, and he said not even thinking of sinning, thinking about sin, conceptually about sin, or speaking, not real Lashon Hara, you know, secondary Lashon Hara, or to do an Aveda Kala. And he uses the expression, thoughts of sin, which are even worse than the sin. Now, Chassidus explains like this. The Gemara, it's really a Gemara. The Gemara says, thoughts of sin are worse than the sin itself. We're not punishable for thoughts. The only thoughts, Tata says, we're punishable for, is thoughts of idol worshipping. But if somebody thinks they're going to kill somebody, then they don't get punished for that thought. It's not a good thought. They're a Russia at that time. But they don't get punished for it. Yet, thought is a bigger blemish on the neshama than speech or action. So Chassidus explains, why is it? Why does the Gemara say thoughts of sin are even worse than the sin itself? So Chassidus explains like this. Now, the Rebbe brings down that we learned this already. Why is a person called Adam? Why is a person called Adam? So that Rebbe says, Adam, Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Aleph stands for Machshava. Dalet is Dibur. Mem is Maisa. So the word Adam actually means Machshava, Dibur, Maisa. The question is that we should be called Madam. Machshava, Dibur, Maisa is Madam, not Adam. Why is Machshava called Aleph? So the Alter Rebbe explains that Machshava is what's called Levush HaMiyuchad. Levush HaMiyuchad means the garment which is one with the soul. What does it mean, Machshava is one with the soul? And this is why it's called Aleph, because it's one with the soul. So the Alter Rebbe in the Kutat Torah explains that you can sometimes stop talking, you can sometimes stop doing, but you can never stop thinking. Even if you're not thinking, it means you're thinking that you're not thinking. You can never stop thinking. And therefore there's an expression, Machshava Meshitetes Tamid, Machshava is constantly working. Why can you not stop thinking while you can stop talking and doing? So Chassidus explains, because Machshava is so bound with the Nefesh. The Nefesh always works. Machshava always works. And that's why it's called Aleph. Adam, Aleph is Machshava, because it's so close to the Nefesh. If the Nefesh is constantly functioning, then Machshava is constantly functioning. Therefore, the Rebbe explains, it's understood that when you blemish thought, it's a greater blemish on the Neshama, because it's closer to the Neshama than speech or action. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, Hirur Aveda, Koshimi Aveda, thoughts of sin are even worse than the sin itself, not as far as punishment goes, but as far as blemish on the soul goes. And therefore the Alter Rebbe says, if you thin in thought, sin in thought, in speech, or in action, you're a Rosh at that time. Or now he says another thing, how you can be a Rosh. Aishi Shasa Keshe, or it's an appropriate time, Lasik Betera, when they should be learning Tera, this applies to men, by the way, V'mefana Liba Levatola, and they don't. And they just, you know, waste time. The number of us, like it says in Pirkei Avos, and near Balad, if you're up at night, U'mefana Liba, and you turn your heart to Batola, you should be killed. So the Alter Rebbe says like this, Sheba'achas Mikol Eila, any one of these three, meaning if you sin in thought, or speech, or action, U'kiyetzibam are similar things, Nikra Rosha Ba'esahi, you are called a Rosha at that time. And Dr. Abba will explain in the next parak, a Beinani is never a Rosha. Not for 1 second. Anytime you allow, even once a year, that the Nefesh Abamis controls the Nefesh or the kids in thought, speech, and action, you are automatically a Rosha. And he says why? Shaharasha Benafshe Gevet, because the evil of the Nefesh conquers. Umislabesh begufa, and dresses itself into the body. Umachtiyay umetame, and makes him sin, and makes him tame. But he's a rasha v'tevlei. The achakach greve behatev shebenafshi olikis. But right away, the good of the nefesh olikis wakes up. Umischare, he regrets it. Umevakish mechilo slich mi Hashem, and he asks forgiveness from Hashem. Hashem yisnach lein, Hashem will definitely forgive him. If you do the proper tshuva based on the advice of the Chachamim of Shleisha Chalukah Kapara, the three levels of tshuva that the Alter Rebbe discusses in the Gersa Tshuva, that Rabbi Shmuel learned to Meshkos Makom Achar. So the Alter Rebbe says like this, the highest level of Rasha V'Tevlei is a person that can sin once and right away does tshuva, but the fact that the Nefesh Abamis took control, you're a Rasha. I'm going to rephrase the question. No, rephrase it. That means, based on what we're learning, if a kid on the day of his bar mitzvah had an evil thought, that's it for life. Right? So the Rebbe Namaim asks the question, how could you be a bein if you sinned? And in fact, in the next paragraph, the Rebbe is going to say, Lo aver aveda miyamav. He never sinned, v'lo yaver, and he never will sin. So what do you mean? So the Rebbe explains like this. Just like tshuva transforms the Rasha to Baal Tshuva, tshuva can make the Rasha back into a non-Rasha. Okay? But as long as this person is on the level, and that's why a beinani, the Alter Rebbe will say in the next parak, not the pshat, he never sinned. On his present level, the way he is now, he would never allowed, or will allow, any evil to control. I mean, on his present level, he's on a level that never sinned, or never will sin. We don't know what the future is, but on his present level, he will never sin. So therefore, the Rebbe explains, if a Beinani does tshuva, and he's no more Russia, he can become a Beinani and stay a Beinani. You're not born a Beinani. You could become a Beinani when you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, if you do tshuva for the past. No, we're talking about what level is the person now? Rasha V'Tevlei. Rasha V'Ali, very few people are. Rasha V'Tevlei, what we call today in the world a big tzaddik, a holy tzaddik, is really a Rasha V'Tevlei. Unless if they never sinned, that you don't have too much. But it means, and the Rasha V'Tevlei means a person who has the ability in the present level to allow evil to control for a second, that level is called the Rasha.
Okay, and then if
you do tshuva and you become a level that you won't do it and you don't let evil control you, then you could become a Beinani. But the fact that at one time evil controlled already declassifies you as a Beinani. That doesn't mean tomorrow you can't become a Beinani. Tomorrow you can become a Beinani.
At this moment, you are Rosh Hashanah. When you do that, you are Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, but now if you're a person that never allows evil to dictate close speech, yeah, then you turned into a Beinoni. But if you're a person that doesn't allow that, then you're a Rosh of a Taimla. And in fact, Alter Rebbe will explain later that the Beinoni is really closer to the Rosh than to the Tzaddik. Because he has enough Shabbamis, he has enough Shabbamis. In action, the Beinoni is like the Tzaddik. He doesn't sin, he doesn't sin. But in level, he has enough Shabbamis, he has enough Shabbamis, and the Tzaddik doesn't. But let's continue.
See.
No, God forbid. We're not that bad. We'll come in a second. No, we're going to come soon. In the next 5 lines, we'll see what we are. The Yashmi Sharab gave it by Yasin. The person was the evil conquers more. The God established by Koshle Shalavushim Shalara. All three garments sin. And those worse sins. Ubeitim Kravim Yasin and more often. That means, this is, let me introduce you to us. Why are we a Rosh of a Tevlai? Afeintayim ischadei, the regret in between. Uboim le'irhuda tshuva, and they get thoughts of tshuva. Mibchinas atev shebenafshi, from the good which is left. Shemizgabek saz bintayim, which gets back, in other words, as Alter Rebbe is going to explain, as long as you do tshuva, every so often, you're still a Rosh of a Tevli. She'enle is Gabbis Ella. So why, but, Ella is Gabbis Kolkach. The person doesn't have that power. Lenatzeach Sara Lifrish Mechatov Legami to stop him from sinning. In other words, even, as we all know, even when we do tshuva, and you kippah, whatever, base reality, Matzah Yom Kippah, nobody changes. Right? Matzah Yom Kippah, everybody's back to normal. That doesn't mean that they didn't mean it on Yom Kippur. It means that they don't have the ability to get rid of it completely. The Esmeidav Ezev to be mamish, leave evil completely. Concerning this level of Rosh HaVetevlai, it says, Rishoyim Maleim Charotis. Rishoyim are full of regrets. Meaning, Shem Reva Rishoyim, that's the majority of the Rishoyim, that has a little bit of good. So the Alter Rebbe is really speaking, there's a tremendous extreme here in Rosh HaVetevlai. There's a Rosh HaVetevlai that sins once, and he's a Rosh HaVetevlai. There's a guy that sins 1,000 times a day, but in between he regrets what he did, he's still a Rosh HaVetevlai. What's a Rosh HaVetevlai? So this is us, basically. Okay. Mi sheinim mischadet leilim. What happens if a person never regrets? They do evil and they just don't regret it. Vein boyim lehirhuri tshuva klau. And there never comes thoughts of doing tshuva at all. Nikra rosh haverali. That is called a rosh haverali. Meaning a rosh haverali is a person who sins and never does tshuva, never regrets what they're doing. And by the way, we're speaking here, not people don't know they're sinning. We're speaking about people that know they're sinning and they just don't care. Why are they called Rab Rosh HaVerali? He says, Sherash benafshi, hu levadi nishe bekirbi, because they only have evil in them. Why? Ki gover kol kach al hatev, because it got so powerful, the evil over the good. Achinastalik mikirbe, it left the person. The emid bechinas makif olav momaila, and it remains hovering over him from above. That means there's no internal good left. It's only a makif, an encompassing superficial level of good. Lochena, but this is a remarkable statement. Lochena mirazaldo, that's why the Chazal say, kol be'asad eshchin teshayda, and any 10 Jews, even if there are 10 Rosh HaVerales, the Shechina is present. Meaning like this. In Chassidus, when you have the expression Seviv Kol Almin, or something is Pnimi or Makif, literally means surrounding or inside. Right? What does that mean in simple English? In simple English, it means Pnimius means it affects you directly. Makif means it affects you superficially. Rosh Barale, who does Avedis and not even interested in doing tshuva at all and never regrets what they did, they actually drove out any good from having any effect upon them in a direct way. They got rid of it. Just like the Tzadik Gomer gets rid of the Yetzirah, the Rosh Barale gets rid of any good within him. But he's still a Yid. The Neshama, the Pinta Yid, is there in a level of Makif. What does it mean, Makif? It has only an indirect effect on the person, not a direct effect. Meaning, the person will sin, they won't regret, because there's no direct influence of the good on the person. Indirectly, they will still have it. And therefore, when there's 10 Jews together, the Shekhinah is there.
It has no direct function.
Now, I'll give you the simple example that we learned in many of my Maimarim, Emunah. Okay, Jews are Maminim, B'nai Maminim. Yeah? Putting it back to what we're learning, we're all Rosh Hashanah, which means we sin once a year, right? Okay, we do a sin. Now, at the time you sinned, did you believe or didn't you believe? If somebody asked you at the time your mom is sinning, tell me, you believe in God? They're going to tell, of course, we're just questioning. Are you crazy? So why are you sinning? Similar to the famous Gemara that Chassidus Soyuz brings down, Gan v'apum machtarte rachman akarya. A ganef is about to break into a home to steal. He davens to Hashem to be successful. That's the Gemara. So Chassidus has a field there with that Gemara. What does it mean? Analyze the Gemara. He's davening to Hashem means he believes in God. If he doesn't believe in Hashem, why is he davening? That means he believes in Hashem. And he knows Hashem says don't steal. So why is he stealing? If he believes in Hashem, why is he stealing? So Chassidus explains, because the amunah, the belief that he has in Hashem, is a level of makif, meaning it's only indirect connection. Only indirect effect. It doesn't affect him directly. And that's where the Rosh Barale, who got rid of any internal good that has a direct effect upon them, that's why they don't do tshuva. What do they have, though? Indirectly, the neshama is still there. And therefore, sometimes, the Rosh Barale, when push comes to shove, he'll give up his life to die as a Jew, even though he did every sin in the book and without ever doing tshuva. Because then, the tov, the good, will indirectly affect him to give up his life, as a Jew. But Rosh Hashanah is, you sin as often as you want, but you do tshuva, you're Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, never tshuva. But even then, this is what's unique, Dr. Rebbe said, even then, it's not the pshat he got, doesn't have good. The good is only indirectly affecting him rather than directly affecting him.
There's never a situation that the good leaves a Jew? There's never a situation...
Completely?
Yes.
No. You're born a Jew, you die a Jew. Even a Jew, who chas v'shalom shmadzich, converts to Christianity or whatever, is still a Jew.
And he can be buried in a Jewish cemetery?
The different shayla, I mean, do you, don't you, but that's nothing to do with the, is he a Jew or not? Just because somebody did an Aveda doesn't mean they're not a Jew. So a certain Aveda, you don't bury somebody in a Jewish cemetery. Right, you bury him wherever.